Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
I'm Aaron McMahon.
It is Illinois week for the Michigan football team. We'll be looking ahead to that game. We'll be looking back, definitely, to the most recent game against Iowa. And we'll be talking hoops and some hockey, maybe some hockey. Even, if there's time.
No managerial options for next year?
And sure.
I know we shouldn't like talk about other employment, but I mean, did you throw your hat in the ring there?
Nah, I did not. But I do have a better understanding of just certain, I kind of know how a double switch works as opposed to the previous manager. He never really got that going to the National League. But so Michigan beat Iowa 10-3. I think that's important to remember that they did win the game. Harbaugh and some of the players, as you know, the offense was kind of dissected and scrutinized and criticized by some, reminded that, you know, they did win the game. And that is, of course, the most important thing. Iowa does have a very good defense. I guess I'll just say that to set the table. Sometimes I do feel that, you know, media and fans, like in general, you know, you're kind of looking for things to improve on. So maybe you kind of do focus on the areas of weakness instead of complimenting the defensive effort. So if it's okay, can we start there with the defense? Because it was very, very good against Iowa.
Very good. Yeah, I think it was by far their best effort of the season. I mean, they put it together now, I think, 10 straight quarters. They allowed 3 points in the last 10 quarters, I think is what it is, going back to second half against Wisconsin. So I think they rebounded very well. I mean, they shut out Rutgers. By and large, they held Wisconsin. In total, they held Iowa's rushing. I said Wisconsin. Uh-huh. Iowa's rushing game to 1 yard after the sacks and everything else that they got.
But even with that, I think it was at like 60 or something.
Yeah, they were at least 3 point something yards per rush, which is outstanding.
Yeah, it was very similar to what Michigan's been doing.
four turnovers, three interceptions.
Yeah, but it was a very impressive game. I mean, Don Brown needed, I think, one of those after the Wisconsin game. And, you know, obviously it was Rutgers and they were able to shut him out. But I think putting back-to-back games like these together, I think bodes well for the confidence of the group, I have to think. Yeah. I mean, there was obviously some concerns with the defensive line, whether they'd be able to hold up this season. They're starting. They seem to be coming together. I've been really impressed by the defensive ends. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson's really kind of emerged here the last couple of weeks. Quiddy Pay had his best game of the season against Iowa. So I think
Big Ten Defensive Player of the week for his efforts.
Yeah. So I think by and large, I think, you know, defense is the bright spot of this team at this point.
I'm curious I wonder what the narrative would have been after the game if it was instead like a 35-28 game instead,
Great point.
Like, it's like, the offense is back clicking again, now there's more questions. I feel like because it was the defense that carried on, there's less optimism moving forward than if it was like a 35-28 game, because I feel like there's people believe this offense is what's going to make or break this team this year and not its defense.
I think that's a very fair point. I think there's also just generally more excitement when a team is scoring points. So even if, you know, a 7-point margin, right, on the low end versus the high end, people think it was a better game if there was more scoring, which isn't always necessarily true. I don't know. I mean, it's not like the defense had been so dominant that you could have just necessarily excused a poor performance on that side of the ball. I mean, obviously Wisconsin had its way with Michigan really on both sides. And then, you know, you beat Rutgers 52-0 and everything looks great. I just think, you know, it's been a problem. It's not just this season too, right? I mean, it's been a problem for now, you know, sort of a few years with kind of trying to find that offensive identity. And there's obviously a new coordinator this year and a new style. So I think, there are more eyes on that side. Two of Michigan's, you know, five games so far have been against very good teams.
Very good defensive teams.
Right, defensive teams.
And
exactly.
That's, I think, important away when we do look at the offense. You know, the offense hasn't been very good. They've clearly, I don't want to say stalled, but they've, you know, they haven't hit that crescendo that many of us are waiting for. You got to keep in mind, again, Wisconsin is still number one ranked defensive team in the country. Iowa's number five. These aren't These aren't bad teams. These are good teams. And then you've got you saw the offense, you know, seemingly put it together against Rutgers, but again, Rutgers isn't very good either. So it's almost been
the same
extremes.
Thing this week against
it's
Illinois.
The extremes, yeah. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's hard to gauge. I mean, you can go off what you see, and you can go off the stats and everything else, and they haven't been very good. But I think time's going to tell. I mean, the second half of the season is going to be, I think, important. We can go into this later on, but we're really going to find out more about this team in the second half of the season when the competition gets more consistent and you're playing, I guess, consistently in and out every week, better teams.
Yeah. Now, you know, Jim Harbaugh has now said, he said directly after the game Saturday, and he said it again Monday, you know, that he feels this offense is, he's using the phrase, you know, hitting its stride. So it's interesting. It's a very interesting thing that he's saying, because it kind of goes against what we're seeing. He brought up the term, he said, I've got evidence like to prove it. I mean, it made it kind of seem like this whole secretive thing. You know, the thing about sports is that there are games that get played in the public view that mm-hmm. we can all go by. So, you know, kind of every Saturday, there's no hiding, and there's no, this is what, you know, we've been working. You get to see kind of, you know, how things are really looking. As I mentioned in a story this morning, you know, Iowa and Wisconsin's defense are elite, fine, but some of those Middle Tennessee and Armies are not, and you know Michigan had its struggles there too. The good news again for this Iowa game, their turnovers weren't a major problem, although part of that you could just say was a little luck, or I guess regression to the mean with the fumbles, because Michigan did put the ball on the floor a little bit, but they were fortunate to recover it most of the time. Or every time, I guess, the one turnover was an interception.
Right after the two fumbles.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's interesting because after the Wisconsin game, they lost, 35-14. Jim Harbaugh was clearly upset on both sides of the ball. Obviously, the defense couldn't stop Jonathan Taylor, but the offense clearly wasn't clicking. And as you just mentioned, it was a different vibe this week after the Ohio game or the Iowa game. It was more, praising the Iowa defense and what they're able to do. And, I think Jim Harbaugh said this week that it's okay to say that the other team played a good game, and he was praising the Iowa defense.
I agree with that for sure. So, I think he sometimes doesn't do too much of that. So, yes, I have no problem with that.
So it's interesting just the reactions, I guess, just the different, the different post-game, feelings, I guess. But, like you said, based on what we've seen in the stats and everything else, Michigan's offense isn't where they want it. It isn't where I think folks want it. They've got some work to do.
Right. I mean, there's definitely a thought with Michigan fans that they're not, happy unless they're unhappy. Do you think some of that is playing into this? Or, based on what you guys are saying, there's legitimate concern.
There is. I think if you look at compare the numbers to last year when everyone thought the offense wasn't – they were efficient, but they could. People thought they could do better. I mean, the numbers are – if you look at the average yards per game, throwing almost every measurable statistic offensively is down from what it was last season. Now, obviously, you're looking over a 13-game span compared to – they played five games so far. So the body of work clearly isn't there. We haven't played a full season yet. But, through five games, they're not clicking on either – either cylinder. The run game – isn't as plentiful as it was last season.
Right,
they're not hitting as many deep balls as even last year. They didn't connect on a ton, but they had more up to this point than they do now. So
they had Teron. They didn't keep him honest because he had. Yeah. I haven't seen a long run yet by any of the running backs. None that are coming to my head. And Teron Hayden had quite a bit last year where the break off 30, 40, 50 yarders to really keep the defense off balance. And we just haven't seen that explosiveness from any of the running backs. Especially since Zach Charbonnet's game, first two games.
Right. Yeah. Certainly not recently. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. Michigan, they get you get the three games now every year against the other division, the West, in Michigan's case, and this year, Michigan had two of the three were against I'd say the two best teams over there with Wisconsin and Iowa. But this week they'll finish their West swing or whatever with Illinois. I don't know. One of them. I guess you could say if they were playing like Minnesota instead of Illinois, that would make it as tough as possible. But they get Illinois, which certainly has its own problems, on the road. I guess what are kind of early things to look for in that game?
see if they can duplicate the offensive game they had against Rutgers. You want to see them. I think that from a fan perspective, I think you want to see them again put together another complete game where there aren't, again, no turnovers, few penalties. At this point, I have to believe the offense is largely intact. There isn't going to be a ton of changes at this point. It's more about repetition, getting comfortable, and right. I think you've seen it at times, but then there were points again in the Iowa game the other day where I thought Shea Patterson still looked uncomfortable in the pocket. It almost seemed like they just weren't sure of themselves, and that's a symptom of a new offense where they're still learning everything. So I'm at this point, I think it's more repetition. They got to get stuff down and continue to do it, and then hopefully at some point. They're gonna have to, figure it out.
I mean, this is an Illinois team that's given up 38.7 points per game in the last three games, all losses to Minnesota, Nebraska, and Eastern Michigan. So, I mean, if they can't move the ball against this team, I mean, there's gonna be some serious red flags heading into a night game at Penn State.
I think I think they'll be able to. I think it's I think we'll come out of that game next week, just like we did against Rutgers, saying, okay, they put it together. Now, can we see them do it again against someone else? And then we got Penn State the following week.
Right.
So this is going to be a similar storyline for the next few weeks until we see whether or not they can hang with a Penn State or a Michigan State or a
Notre Dame.
Yeah. Ohio State. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough stretch to end the year.
No, absolutely. And I think there's something to be said for you get a new offensive coordinator. He's learning his personnel too. And, mm-hmm. He's seeing what's working, maybe what's not working. And, you'd hope there'd be adjustments to be made. Whether that does mean more shots down the field to guys like Nico Collins, because those plays have been at times successful. It's more, sort of short screen passes, just getting the ball in people's Jones' hands. We'll see.
I have to wonder, too, and maybe this is me just being theorizing. I don't know. Maybe they're holding some stuff back. They don't want to show all this, before the second half of the season when the competition gets heavier. Maybe they wanted to and they just don't. They just don't want to. I don't know. You would have thought though against Iowa when it was such a close game,
right,
they would take a few more chances just to open up the game. So I don't know. We're not behind the scenes. We're not privy to the game plan, but you'd think with the personnel and the talent they have, they would do it more. So I don't know. I don't have answers for that.
I guess last thing on the football side would just be kind of an injury update on quarterbacks in particular. Dylan McCaffrey, I mean, I would not expect him to be available for the game.
It doesn't sound like it. He hasn't cleared concussion protocol at this point.
Right.
I've mentioned this to a couple of people now in the last few weeks. When someone goes down with a concussion, it's always iffy because you don't know. Different players respond differently. If you have a history of concussions, maybe you're more like it takes longer to come back. Got someone who maybe is concussed for the first time, at least medically, it's quicker. With McCaffrey now, I mean, he's been hit several times now. He broke his collarbone last year. He hasn't cleared the NCAA regulated concussion protocol. And once he does, I think Michigan, I don't know how comfortable they are with throwing him in right away. He's going to have to maybe go through a couple of days of practice before he's game ready. And if he's not ready at this point, then I'd be hard-pressed to think he plays on Saturday.
And on the Illinois side, their starter, former Wolverine Brandon Peters, left the game in the first half last week, a lopsided loss to Minnesota. Unclear exactly what the injury was. I mean, I saw a video of it. It was hard to tell, really. I mean, whether it was a head injury or just, some other sort of upper body injury or whatever. Illinois wasn't saying. They're not ruling him out, but some of the comments yesterday from their coaches kind of would indicate, basically they said, hey, this guy Matt Robinson, the backup, he took the final snap in the last game, so we're preparing as if it's him until, further notice, essentially. So, could be him. He's a little bit more of a running threat, but Peters held on to that, won that job and held on to it for several games for a reason. So, that would be interesting. Plus obviously this watching him against some of his former teammates always, kind of interesting storyline there. But basketball, like we mentioned earlier, their media day was this past week outside of Chicago. First kind of public comments from Juwan Howard in months, really, and first time talking to any of the players since the introductory press conference for him in May. So, yeah, this was, what did we learn? They're still being somewhat secretive about, you know, what the style of play is going to look like.
Do you think that's going to be the case until the season opener, or do you think maybe is?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to watch a little bit of practice next week as part of the Michigan's like media day. You know, will this just be kind of three-man weaves and layup lines and some shooting drills, you know, and then we're asked to leave before real practice begins? It's possible. But yeah, I mean, Juwan keeps saying he's going to play to his player's strengths. So, you know, he's kind of said in the past that he wants a little more, maybe a little more tempo. It would be hard to play a little, you know, much slower than they played under John Beilein. So I would understand that.
Probably a good point. But, I mean, it's always important to remember when a new coach and staff come in. I mean, what you see right away may not be what it is in a year or two from now.
Like exactly, you know, as you start recruiting to what you want.
You got
to
work with what you have, and that doesn't always necessarily mean what you have isn't necessarily what you want.
Right.
So you got to work with the situation you got.
That kind of might play into Michigan's offense at football too right now.
Exactly.
You change offenses, and then you have a guy recruited for your – guys on the team recruited for your former offense. So maybe it makes a little bit of sense that it's taking a lot of time for it to play.
But sure.
Anyways, back to basketball.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, it sounds like practices has been, you know, they've done a lot of, you know, full court stuff, more maybe scrimmaging and playing than in the past, and some physical drills as well, where, you know, no fouls are called and things like that. The players that Juwan did talk up Franz Wagner. It's kind of funny. He kind of, you know, he comes from the NBA world, Juwan, and, he kind of does make the NBA reference for some of these guys right away. I mean, even for a guy who hasn't played a college game yet, I mean, he said he's a future pro or whatever. He's like, you know, I'm sorry, I might be putting pressure on him, but I think he's a future, you know, he's going to be a good pro. It's like, all right. Eli Brooks was another one, a junior who has had an interesting career arc at Michigan. As a freshman, did unseat Xavier Simpson as a starting point guard kind of early in that season. Simpson started playing a lot better and, you know, reclaimed that job and hasn't looked back. And Brooks has at times kind of even fallen out of the rotation. So it'll be, you know, I think he's someone who's looking forward, you know, to a new coaching staff and, you know, getting his confidence back and, kind of playing more like he's capable of. So that would be big for Michigan that does have some, you know, kind of backcourt scoring question marks, you know, given the departures from last year. You know, Simpson's there at point guard, but, you know, who else is going to be there with them? They certainly have some guys that have, you know, 6'7", 6'8", and taller. They got some guys there. We mentioned Wagner, Isaiah Livers, obviously John Teske, Brandon Johns, Colin Castleton. Like these are front court players for the most part. So they could certainly use a little bit more of a perimeter punch. We'll have more for sure in these coming weeks on MLive.com/Wolverines. On the basketball team, first game not until November 1st is an exhibition game. So we'll kind of see what things look like. And again, it is basketball. It's different than football for sure as far as like the style of play. You know, there's like that many styles in basketball,
right.
You know? I mean, still kind of just playing basketball. And I don't know. It's a lot of read and react stuff and not too many teams run set plays anymore anyway. And, right. You know, it's like everyone's realized that 3 points is worth more than two, and like the efficiency of certain shots has kind of changed how teams look. And, you know, many like to play this positionless basketball with.
Right.
Yeah. So
in talking to Juwan, do you get a sense that he's settled in now? I mean, is he still, I don't know. I remember his opening press conference in Ann Arbor, and he almost seemed, you know, like overwhelmed,
right.
You know, like it was like a big thing, and it was, you know,
he's
never been a college coach.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, at Media Day, he initially, you know, as all the coaches did, he initially spent time up at a podium,
right.
You know, literally like above the rest of us, you know, addressing the entire room. And then, like all the other coaches, moves to a, you know, just kind of a round table setting where, you know, reporters can kind of come in and out. You're sitting. It's a little more casual. He was much more comfortable in the latter setting. You could tell he was a little nervous up at the podium. And one time he said his time with Miami University instead of the Miami Heat or Miami organization, which is funny. It's almost like he's full in on the college, really? On the college mode now. But, you know, recruiting is definitely, you know, something. He was asked about the name, image, and likeness stuff, California Pay to Play Act and things like that. And while he, in a way, would have been one of the most interesting coaches to hear on this topic, given that, you know, he was a star player at Michigan, he said he had not, you know, really read anything about it. He didn't know anything. He couldn't really comment, which is somewhat of a cop-out. But with him, you believe that it's 100% true. He even said in his answer to that at one point, you know, heck, I'm out here recruiting. I haven't signed a player yet. Like, I'm just trying to get a guy to come here. So I can't really, you know, be thinking about these things. And that is really the other thing that I'll add here is recruiting. He is not you know, they have one player for the 2020 class who was signed under John Beilein. He has not gotten anyone to sign yet. It's no reason for panic that he hasn't yet. But you know, it's certainly kind of, you know, at the forefront of
some of those, like, top guys that he was going after
have chosen other schools. Yeah. Correct. You know, another five star is now down to two. They've been in guys' top five, top three. They may have been in their top two before. It's hard to tell sometimes they're considering between. But, you know, Machine going head-to-head with Kansas for this player, Isaiah Todd. So we'll see.
It's He's often, got two up. Openings, three?
He's got three. So he's got So he's got the one player that's signed for next year. There would then be three other spots in addition to him. He's not signed yet. He's just committed. So three, and that includes, you know, everyone currently under scholarship on the roster who has eligibility remaining, including Austin Davis, who would be a redshirt senior next year. So
that's all
you could see him, you know, maybe taking a grad transfer route elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's obviously the NBA route for other guys potentially, or, you know, transfers or whatever. So at, you know, bare minimum, you know, the one commit signs, no one else leaves, you still have three spots. He's in the mix for several other, you know, four or five star players. We'll see who he ends up landing potentially. Zook, you want to talk a little hockey?
Let's talk a little hockey.
We can talk a little hockey, sure.
Real quick, you know. I mean, the season is starting officially this weekend, Friday and Saturday at home against Clarkson, who is ranked at number 11 in the preseason polls. So it'll be a tough non-conference challenge right out of the gate for the Wolverines. They had an exhibition game on Sunday against the University of Windsor. Won that game 8-2. So, I mean, obviously some positives coming out of there. And, yeah, I mean, they're picked to finish sixth in the Big Ten, but, like, it's – last year there was 9 points separated from first to last place. So, I mean, it's going to be another grind every week, week in, week out between these seven teams. And, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they finish top three. I wouldn't be surprised – I mean, I don't think they'll finish last, but obviously, I mean, big concern last year was their goaltending. They had the same two goaltending duo this year with senior Hayden Levine and sophomore Strauss Mann. So Aaron's favorite.
I remember him, yes. Yeah,
Aaron's favorite name. They'll need to have better goaltending this year. Spoke with Mel Pearson last week. He does not have a number one goalie heading into this season, and it's up to the goalies to decide who's going to take that number one job. Other than that, I mean, they have seven seniors, which is very rare for a college hockey program that gets some high-profile players. Three of their top four scorers are back. They did lose Quinn Hughes, who was a first-round draft pick of the Vancouver Canucks, which will be a big loss on the back end. But the funny thing is they have Cam York coming in, another first-round pick this year, broke Quinn Hughes' scoring record as a defenseman at the U.S. Development Program last year. So another talented offensive defenseman who should come in, play top pairing minutes right away. High expectations for him. Another first-round pick, large centerman with a lot of speed. John Beecher, he scored in the exhibition game. So I mean, there's a lot of quality pieces there that makes you think, hey, this team could surprise and kind of go on that maybe a Frozen Four run like they did a couple of years ago when they were also picked to finish sixth in the Big Ten. But we'll see. I mean, they got a good mix of veteran and younger players, and I mean, they'll need a better start than they've gotten the past 2 years. 2 years ago, they needed that miraculous second half run to get into the tournament, and they ended up making it to the Frozen Four last year. They started off slow and could never kind of get over that hump. Josh Norris, who left, another former first-round pick who signed with the Ottawa Senators, he's now gone. So they should never recover last year, so they have a tough non-conference slate. So we'll see how things go, and it'll be a big opening weekend for the Wolverines.
The two questions I was going to ask, I feel like you answered. It was like, what is the biggest thing, question mark, kind of heading into the season? It seems like maybe the same as last year, goaltending.
Yeah.
And then it was, does this team have enough, like, top talent, you know, future NHL talent,
right,
you know, to compete, you know, for in the Big Ten and make a run at a Frozen Four? And it kind of sounded like, yes. I mean,
yeah. And so it's young. So that's always a question. It was a funny point Pearson brought up during our conversation, how important it is to have veteran players, seniors, juniors, upperclassmen, compared to, I mean, just having young, talented guys. Because there's always, like the Boston schools always have high-end talent, and last year they struggled because they were so young. They pointed to Ohio State, whose average age last year was over 22 years old, and they went on to have a top 10 season, won the Big Ten. And this year, he feels like they have the senior leadership that is needed. Maybe not the elite talent as some other schools, but experience. They've been there before, and some of these young guys can maybe kick in a little bit of that extra skill that they needed. I think they have a lot more depth this year, especially at forward. It's going to be tough because they don't have that top line or top defensive pairing in Justin Sertoni and Twin Hughes, who are both signed pro contracts after last year. But I think it is a deeper team than last year. And if they can get decent or average to above average goaltending, I think they'll have a chance at competing in the Big Ten and maybe getting back to the NCAA tournament.
So that wraps it up for this episode of the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. You can read more about all the topics covered in this episode.
Predictions coming up on Thursday evening.
There you go.
Yeah, make sure you watch the video.
MLive.com/Wolverines.
I don't think anyone's going to be in shock over who we picked between Michigan and Illinois.
For the no, round. Yeah, we've had...
But you can also get your Spartans-Wisconsin preview in the video as well. And we have some fun props for this week to be included in the
score
video.
The score margin always of interest, right, to certain folks as well.
So the line's 21.5 right now, so I will tell you this, I have Michigan winning by more than that. You'll have to come to the prediction video to see what it will be.
All right, thanks for listening.